Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. Up in the captain's chair on the magical isle of Vashon, broadcasting live. Now for the Federal Communications Commission, broadcasting live on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band. And streaming live all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden on the other, of which Stockholm is the capital, on voiceofvashon.org. My greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who are veterans and are children of veterans. If you are a military daughter or son, you know that you are a military brat, for that is the term, not a pejorative one, maybe not even always a descriptive one, but the term which probably goes back to revolutionary times is you are a service brat. And my greetings go out to all of you, and in particular do my greetings go out to those who recognized yesterday Memorial Day, because I'm going to talk, after the binnacle list, I'm going to talk about my Memorial Day yesterday and how it struck me and how maybe it felt to some of you. The binnacle list today is a sad one for me because I live on a private road, and along that road are a number of families, in fact, eight of them, who are my road family. And these are the families that gathered around me immediately, within minutes, of the death of Mary R., which on the 1st of June, in just a few days, it will be 5 years. And we've had within that family the death of a parent, the death of a brother, the death of a son, and the son of one of members of one of my road families, and the brother of another member of that same family. In other cases, and so I have met with both of those families. They know that they are all not only in the palm of my hand, but now they're being thought of and thought about by all of Captain Joe's people who are members of this broadcast family, for that is what you all are. In other cases, I've had signals from steady occupants of the binnacle list. One from my Vietnam shipmate, Josh, that came to me this morning, in which he gloated over a almost negligible PSA reading. And, of course, we've been tracking his particular challenge for some time. All of my other members of the binnacle list are steady as she goes. And in my own case, I have failed once again to divorce myself from Mr. Foley, and so Vivian and I are going to try again in the middle of June. In the meantime, I have two trips planned, scheduled, booked, paid. This coming weekend, I'm going down to the Los Angeles Basin, to San Pedro, which is a sailor's town, and to a meeting of the Nautical Institute of London, of which I've been a member for some time. And then in June, I am going out to the Midwest for my annual retreat with one of my Midwest families. Unfortunately, or I can't even say anymore, unfortunately, because I've learned how to figure it all out. I take a round turn on all the couplings of the external plumbing to make sure that they don't come apart in an airplane. That's happened to me now 3 times. And in all other regards, I continue to be of really good cheer, up in the captain's chair, and in full command of all that I am still privileged to command in this life. For my Memorial Day yesterday, I decided that I would go with my friend and colleague and neighbor, Dr. Scott Phillips. He had located a Memorial Day service that included the Air Force. His father had been a P-47 pilot in the European Theater of Operations in World War II. And his grandfather, who had been gassed in World War II, was buried in the cemetery at the Department of Veterans Affairs facility at American Lake, not very far from the ferry terminal in Tacoma. Parenthetical insertion here is that when I told Mary R. that if it ever became necessary for me to be put into some sort of a custodial facility, that she was to load me into the back seat of whatever Benz happened to be, the largest one that we owned at the time, drive me to the front gate at American Lake and just open the door and push me out, because twice a day the laundry truck stops by the front gate and picks up anybody that has been dumped there. She never thought that that was very funny. I kept trying, but she never thought that it was very amusing. And she said, anyway, she said, Joseph, you're never, ever going to have to go to American Lake. And if you do, I will at least drive you up to where you get admitted. No laundry truck for you, Buster. So, Dr. Phillips had invited me to be his partner on this journey. And so, yesterday we got onto the ferry and we drove over to American Lake because he was certain that his grandfather was buried in the cemetery at the Department of Veterans Affairs facility at American Lake, which is a hospital. It is, they do a lot of different things there. It's a very large complex, and it even has a golf course. So we got to American Lake, and we were driving around looking for the cemetery, looking for a sign that said, "To the cemetery." We found none of that, and we could find no one who could tell us where the cemetery was, and we finally found a map, not a nautical chart, but a map of the facility, no cemetery to be found. And so we decided that probably when Tahoma National Cemetery was established, that all of the residents at American Lake, in the cemetery at American Lake, were transferred to Tahoma to their new duty station. So the fallback and the backup position was that we would go to the Memorial Day service at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. And that's where we were. I got us onto the base at Fort Lewis, and we went to the Fort Lewis Cemetery, and the ceremony there was beautifully done. The front of the program, I have the program here right in front of me, and the front of the program has a quote from someone called Unknown. And it says this: "The United States flag does not fly because the wind moves past it. The United States flag flies from the last breath of each military member who has died protecting it." So during the ceremony, the presiding officer was a Army Brigadier, one star, who was the Deputy Commanding General for the America's, what they now call the One Corps. In Vietnam, we called it I Corps. And it was a short, pithy, and lovely ceremony. The Army is about to celebrate its 250th birthday. And there was a considerable amount of mention of that in the various remarks. And I will be one to help the Army celebrate that. My friend Captain O'Brien, of course, is an Army veteran. And when we have the birthday celebration, which comes up very quickly, I will mention it and mention him. So it was a time for me. The end of May and the beginning of June are really poignant times for me because Mary R.'s birthday is on the 22nd of May, and the anniversary of her death is on the 1st of June. Memorial Day is always the end of May, and I am reminded of all of my shipmates. The one captain that I served, all of the flag officers who, when I was in a captain myself, unit commanders and flag officers that I served, who allowed me to command in my own style and in my own way. And everybody who is one of Captain Joe's people, you are part of that because I try to transmit that today. Here we go. It is the word shipmate, he or she who considers his mates and ship before himself. I was remembering today or yesterday in particular my XOs, the wonderful friends that have now crossed their bar. You know that you're getting some seniority in life when your XOs start dying. And several of mine are gone. The ones who are still here are the treasures of my life, part of the treasures of my life. So the ceremony was included, of course, short but pithy remarks by the Deputy Commanding General of I Corps, now called One Corps, and by playing of appropriate music, and by a 21-gun salute by an artillery unit that is homeported right there in Fort Lewis. Now, those of us who have fired gun salutes before, you know that there is a rhythm and there is a precise timing between the each round. And I have to say that this particular unit could have practiced maybe once or twice that particular rhythm because there were gaps I furthermore confess that I took over one of the vacant chairs and sat down while all this was going on, but the good doctor remained appropriately standing. But it was a great day, and it was a day in particular appropriate to where we are in our national history. It was a description of memories and of the good things that the people who have gone before us have done. I'm glad that I went with the good doctor. I'm glad that we were able to remember his dad. Because Joint Base Lewis-McChord is both an Army base and an Air Force base, there were a number of painfully young Air Force airmen who were doing the traffic directing. So young. And so smart and crisp in their uniforms, right out, had to be right out of boot camp. I loved everything about the day. And I was so glad that I had met and known briefly Dr. Phillips' dad. He and I had a chance to talk about flying P-47s in World War II just a little bit before he died. All of these things. And my Memorial Day, I can observe Memorial Day anywhere. And that's because I have so many memories of so many wonderful people. Every single one of them, including your captain, flawed in many different ways. And yet, they kept their oath. They kept their, the ones that sail with me, kept their loyalty and obedience to me. Not because of me personally, but because the office, the captain sitting up in the captain's chair, regardless of who it is and regardless of his or her personality, it is that that we obey. It is that that we observe and to whom we are loyal, not to a personality. So that leads me to my next, which is another thing that is not construed to be part of my regular mission, which is to make all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and the world in which we live. And that has to do with a signal that came to me from my friend and colleague, John, J-O-N, John, who is incredibly conscientious in sending me signals of things that he believes that I need to read and hear about. And that has to do with a message from the acting commandant of the Coast Guard and soon to be the commandant of the Coast Guard, because the secretary is nominating him to be the commandant and to get rid of that much loathed preceding word, acting. In this message, there is the idea that somehow or other the Coast Guard of today, after the 20th of January 2025, is in such terrible and dismal and disastrous shape that only it can be saved by the people that now lead our nation. I take this as a personal affront. I have been a part of the Coast Guard for now 73 years. I took the oath for the first time when I was 17 on the parade ground at the Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut in 1952. I have done the best I could most of the time, but not always, at keeping that oath. I started my command career very early. I continued that command career all the way up until my retirement. The people that I was privileged to command and to lead were of the highest most of the time, not all the time, but they were of the highest in terms of their commitment to their shipmates, to their ship, to their captain, to the service, and to the nation that we all have sworn to serve, and not necessarily in that order. I take it as a personal affront that the implication, more than the implication, is that now the service is to be saved. My Coast Guard does not need saving. The people who sailed with me don't need saving. What we need is careful, considered, seaman-like, and shipmate-like attention to duty by all hands, and in particular by the commandant and all who report to him. We can always do better. We can always accomplish a mission in maybe less time, maybe not. I have been on rescue missions where the way that we executed the mission, the timing was exactly right, the timing was exquisite. And we all of us came out of it alive. And that's part of it as well. We all came out alive. We all came home. When we came home from Antarctica, when we came home from Vietnam, we all came home. And that doesn't happen because the people who do it are slovenly, unseamanlike, and don't know what the hell they're doing. It is just the opposite. So, for our leadership now, I have to tell you this. Every senior person in the Coast Guard, and some not so senior, have a service reputation. Part of my service reputation was no one messed around with Captain Joe's people. Now, Captain Joe's people, that seaman that just came out of boot camp, the Master Chief who is running the buoy deck on one of our tenders, the rescue swimmer who is pulling that hapless mariner from certain death, the aircraft commander, the boat coxswain, all of these people who are about their father's business, and they're about their father's business at the highest level of skill and training and experience. And for me to be told, and for me to hear, that all of that doesn't count, that all the way back to 1790 and Alexander Hamilton, it is only now, after the 20th of January, 2025, that my service that I have served for 73 years is going to be saved. Not so, dear ones all. We don't need to be saved. What we need is firm, seaman-like, airman-like leadership that accomplishes the mission and takes care of the people that accomplish that mission. We've never been left behind in when it comes to mission accomplishment, and I can tell you this from my own personal experience. I personally have required out of my crews more than they ever thought that they would be asked to do. And I have never had a crew say, either individually or collectively, "Captain Joe, we don't think we can do that." Every time that I put on any crew that I was privileged to command a mission requirement or a personal requirement, that they knew was beyond anything that they had been asked to do, it was always, "Aye, aye, Captain, show us the way." And I would show the way by saying, "Call away the special, set the special sea detail. I'm headed for the bridge." Some of the things that I'm saying today, I've written in a piece that I wrote for the Coast Guard Channel. If you are a Coast Guardsman or related to a Coast Guardsman, and you do not yet belong or subscribe to the Coast Guard Channel, I highly recommend that you look at it, because it's one of the places that we all foregather. And in particular, it's one of the places that when one of us is ashore or one of us is aground, that we all work together to refloat that shipmate. It is a wonderful place. And I'm privileged to be a part of it as one of the administrators. Fortunately, I am the one administrator that is not allowed to make any changes to the system. And that's a wise precaution on the part of the other administrators, because I would certainly foul it up. But I do highly recommend it, and I am a part of it. I've only got two more minutes, and so I am going to say something about a book that has just come out, and which I'm going to buy, and then I'm going to report on it. It's a new book about Captain James Cook. It is called The Wide, Wide Sea. And James Cook, Captain Cook, is particularly important to navigators, sailors, pilots, because for many years, and maybe still today, the best British Admiralty Church chart, a paper chart of the Antarctic, had up in the upper right-hand corner the legend, "Based on surveys by Captain James Cook." Captain Cook also explored my part of the world here in the Pacific Northwest. And so I'm going to get a copy of this book. I'm going to report on it. It will be the book for the week that I do that. And I am just giving you a heads up on that. The Philippine Navy, and this is my last piece for today. I took far too long at expressing my thoughts on the subject of not messing around with Captain Joe's people, one, and Memorial Day, two. But I am going to quickly say something about the Philippine Navy, and that is that they have established a naval operating base. And where do all of you Westpac sailors think it is? It's in Subic. Subic, a fond memory for those of us who are Squadron 1 or Squadron 3 people. And I am reminded on this day after Memorial Day, my memory of that is the day that my captain and my damage control team from the Coast Guard cutter Ingham decided to build a swing set at one of the schools out in Olongapo. And we built it out of the material that you use for shoring and damage control. And so I bet that swing set is still there. I bet that it probably could use a little bit of titivating. And I hope that now as the base at Subic becomes more and more active with U.S. people going in and out of there, that they will find that school and they will resuscitate that particular swing set. And on that, this is your Captain Joe. I've far too quickly come to the end of our time together. I ask for your indulgence with my particular remarks about those two things that are really important to me. And as always, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, this is your Captain Joe on station and watching properly.